In 2 Samuel chapter 15, and we'll bow together in prayer and seek the Lord's help now for the preaching of the word. Our Father, we thank you for this passage of scripture that we have read earlier. How poignant, in a sense, certainly instructive, and by all means challenging. And we pray that as we come to deal with it, or part of it more fully, that thou would open it up to us, and give to us the word that you want for us to have and act upon, that glory may be brought to thy name. We do pray that thou wilt speak now, and give to me the power of the Holy Spirit to preach the word of God. Oh, do a mighty work in our midst. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. On previous Sunday mornings, we've been looking at a subject that impressed itself upon me that we should consider. That is, qualities that Christians should possess that would make for effective and fruitful Christian living. We looked at two of them already. We've seen consecration, and that should be a permanent mark upon the life of a child of God. Person consecrated entirely to the Master. And then we looked at another quality that's very much lacking by many people, and certainly even in Christians, where you would not expect it to be lacking, but it's a quality that's necessary. It's that of commitment. People don't hang in there at anything the way they used to. They look at things the way a bee looks around a flower a bit and then moves on elsewhere. Christian people never seem to be committed. Not all of them, of course. Thank God that there are many Christian people will stay by a work through thick and thin. But I'm always reminded of the words of the Lord Jesus, perhaps in another context, but it still has an application. No man, having put his hand to the plough and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. So many Christians run well for a while, and then they look back and go back. Commitment really is just a consecration in its ongoing aspect. It's linked to consecration. Another one of these qualities that's also lacking among many people today, and the Christian life in the Christian church is not exempt from it, and that is loyalty. That quality that sticks along with someone else or a cause, whenever that someone else or that cause is at a very low ebb, maybe even in a critical situation, the people rather will stay by it and see it through. And I want to talk about that quality for a while at our service just now. And I want to do so basing it on the life of a man that we have read of in 2 Samuel chapter 15. Let me tell you about this man. This man is a man who has come from a different country than David. In fact, an enemy country, you would say. And yet he has thrown his lot in with David. He's showing himself a man of courage, a man of conviction, and a man of loyalty to the king. It was a critical time in Israel during this part of David's reign. The man who had all his enemies defeated is now finding out from his own ranks there has been a traitor, there has been a rebel, there has been a renegade. And that man was his own son, Absalom. And Absalom led a revolt against David with the result that David is having to evacuate the very country and bring people with him. And this man now comes to the fore and he stands with King David and he affirms and asserts his loyalty to David in his time of need. And I want us to look at it. The details are there in 2 Samuel chapter 15. If you will notice the wording, verse 21. And Ittai answered the king and said, "As the Lord liveth, and as my lord the king liveth, Surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. That, my dear friend, is loyalty to the core. Now, I want you to notice three things about this quality of loyalty, how it should manifest itself in the life of every one of us, and especially among Christian people, and I want us to learn it from the life of this man. First of all, I want you to see the emergence of loyalty, how it arose, how it originated, where it was sourced, how it emerged. And let me say right away, it came from a most unlikely source, a place from which you would not have expected it. I want you to notice this man, Ittai. First of all, his race. This loyalty was shown in the life of a man who was a Philistine. I've already said, and I put it mildly, that this country was not any friend of Israel or any Israelite king. No, let me say this to you, that this country was constantly at war with Israel. It was an inveterate foe. You get the detail of it in 1 Samuel and 2 Samuel. Let me put it to you this way, and this will show it to you how bad it really was for Israel. At the end of 1 Samuel, around chapter 31, you find that Saul was apprehensive about meeting the Philistines. He even consulted a witch to see how things would turn out for him. But at any rate, whenever the battle took place between the Philistines and Israel on Mount Gilboa on Israel, Saul was put to the worse. Saul's children, Jonathan and his two brothers, were slain. Saul himself was put to death. The Israelites took over. The Israelites, when they saw what was happening, fled. Other Israelites, when they saw what was happening to their ministry, left their homes, went across the far side of Jordan, and got away as far as they could. And then the Philistines came and occupied the houses that the Israelites left. It was a terrible time for Israel. And then after that, David came to the throne. He was crowned in Hebron, or he had his coronation in Hebron. And the Philistines came to suss him out, to find out what he was going to be like as a warrior. But God was on the side of David. David consulted with God, and God gave the Israelites a great victory, and they put the Philistines to flight. But that was not enough. The Philistines come back again. David sought the Lord again. He says, Lord, what will I do here? Will I go up? God says, no, don't go up. Fetch a compass around them. Get behind them. And whenever you notice the goings and the tops of the mulberry trees, you'll know that you're about to act. I'll guide you. And again, David and his men went into war and overthrew the Philistines. So there was no love lost between Israel and the Philistines. But here's a man, Ittai, a Philistine, and he is showing himself strong on the behalf of this king that is having to go into exile now. That tells me much. It tells me that in this time of crisis, God had people from the most unexpected source that were going to stand with David in his rejection. Ittai himself and 600 chosen men came behind him. Now I'm wondering, as I look into your faces today, those of you who are not Christians, up to now, like Ittai and the Philistines, you've been an enemy of Christ's. Well, God can change you. Just as he changed Ittai and made him a lover of King David, God can come into your circumstances now and turn you right round. And I would ask you, had you never thought of this, of giving your allegiance and your loyalty to the man of sorrows in his rejection, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is also the King of kings and Lord of lords, and turn from your sin and put your trust in him and receive him as your Savior today? Would you do that? The Bible says, if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his Son. The Lord Jesus Christ has done more for you than what David did for Ittai. The Lord Jesus has died for sinners. Is it not the least that we can do to live for Him, give Him our lives? Yes, this is a very interesting source of loyalty. We've seen the emergence of it, first of all, because of the man's race. He's a Philistine. But notice, secondly, his residence. Whereabouts in the Philistine territory did he live? He lived in Gath. He came from Gath. This man would have known something of the history of David and Gath from two counts. Let me tell you what they were. Whenever David was just a wee shepherd boy, his dad said one day, he says, David, I want you to load up your mules and bring them to the battlefield where Saul and your brothers are fighting the Philistine. And David did that. And whenever he came on the scene, he noticed this giant of a man was mouthing and blaspheming God and defying the armies of Israel. And David said, what's he on about? And the brothers said, David, you're too nosy. Who'd you leave those few sheep with? What are you doing here anyhow? And David said, somebody should take that boy on and silence him. And they criticized David. And David said, is there not a cause? And then he said, what will be done for the man that would deal with that big fella? And what would be done for him? And word got back to Saul, there was a young fella willing to take this big giant on. Saul heard about it. Saul sent for him. David said, I'm not afraid of him. God enabled me to defeat the lion and the bear, to rescue my sheep whenever I was minding them. And the same God can deliver me out of this giant's hand. And Saul said, well, all right, you've got to wear armor going out to him. So David was rigged out in Saul's armor. And David said, and bear in mind that Saul was head and shoulders over all the other soldiers and people in Israel. He was a giant of a man himself, although not like Goliath, who was about 9 feet tall. David says, I haven't tried these. He said, I'm just going out with the usual weaponry that I have. And he went and he took half a dozen stones from the brook or thereabouts, and he fitted one of them to a sling. And he whirled it about his head and he let fly, and he hit Goliath in the forehead, and Goliath fell to the ground. And David ran and took Goliath's sword and took his head from his body. Ittai would have known the history of how the Philistine army fell because Goliath, a resident from Gath, the city of Ittai, fell at the hands of a shepherd boy. And yet for all of that, he was willing to throw in his lot with David. And there's another instance of David and Gath. Whenever David was on the run from Saul, we learn that he went to Gath and spent some time there. And it seems that Ittai came to acknowledge all the qualities in David and admired him and had a liking for him and became a proselyte. He and his 600 men to the Jews. And became a lover, an admirer, and a loyal man to David. That's amazing. From such an unlikely source, there was found one to manifest and exhibit this tremendous quality of loyalty. And loyalty to a man in his dire need. Oh, if David had been beating his enemies all around as he did, you could understand everybody wanting to join under his banner. But no, David's going through a most trying time now. And yet this man is affirming his loyalty. Let me put it to somebody here in this room that maybe you feel that you've been hurt in days gone by, even by the Lord Jesus. He didn't answer the prayer for that thing that was so dear to your heart. He seemed not to take any interest in you whenever you were looking something. Maybe you've looked around and you've seen his providential dealings and you're not pleased. And you're staying away from him because of hurt. You're nursing a grievance against him. Well, learn from Ittai. David slew Goliath from Gath. David was at war with the Philistines and overthrew their army on at least two occasions, three occasions. And yet for all of that, this man is willing to put the history to one side. He's willing not to let the fact that this man defeated my nation. And he's willing to throw in his lot with David. Would you not come to the Lord today, and whatever hardness you have in your heart against him, whatever numbrage you have, whatever way you felt offended about his dealings with you, would you not sink them and say, Lord, thou art all wisdom, thou art all grace, and what I can understand why you've dealt this way with me, I still know that you're the King of Kings and worthy of my loyalty and trust. So the emergence of this loyalty, seen so unlikely from the race and from the residence of the man who showed the loyalty. Very quickly, I want you to notice in the second place the expression of it. This brings us to those words. Two things I want you to notice about the expression of it. First of all, how admirable it was. Notice the words now. Let's get to this particular text in verse 20. Verse 19. Then said the king to Ittai the Gittite, wherefore goest thou also with us? Return to thy place and abide with the king, for thou art a stranger and also an exile. Whereas thou camest but yesterday, should I this day make thee go up and down with us, saying, I go whither I may? Return thou and take back thy brethren, and mercy and truth be with thee. And Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth and as my lord the king liveth, surely in what place my lord the king shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be. Now notice very quickly, first of all, this expression was so admirable because Ittai had an opportunity to bail out of the conflict. And I think this is big in David's part. David said to this man, what are you doing here, Ittai? You have only recently joined up with me. I do not know what way my fortunes are going to be. I do not know how it's going to work with me. And I can't expect you just recently come to me to throw in your lot with me. You go back to the new king. Absalom's going to be the king. You go back there. Take your chances there. But I can't expect you to throw in your lot with me. I'm going to be a stranger and an exile. How big-hearted with David. But this man, Ittai, never took the opportunity. He stayed on. That's loyalty. Whenever so many people, and the Bible tells us further up the chapter, that Abner stole the hearts of the children of Israel, it tells us, according to David's spies, that the men of Israel have gone after Abner. David was in a minority now. Here's a tie. Knowing that things look bad for this man, for King David, and I have an opportunity to get out, he says, I'm not taking it. I'm staying with the king. But notice something else that shows just how admirable this expression of loyalty was. Not only did he refuse the opportunity to leave, but he recognized the solemnity of the occasion. Notice verse 21. Ittai answered the king and said, as the Lord liveth. Here's a man who would have been a heathen formerly. But he's acknowledging the true God of Israel. And he's saying now, as God liveth, I'm staying here. Is that not loyalty, friend? When everybody else is melting away, whenever danger is increasing, Ittai says, I'm staying with you, David. As the Lord liveth and as you live, I am not backing out of this. And then there's another matter that shows how admirable the expression is. How resolute it is. Not only is he saying here, I'm going to stay with you, and he's invoking the name of God. Not only is he refusing an opportunity to bail out, but he's showing how resolved he is. Notice the word surely in verse 21. As the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, that's where I'm going to be. He's adamant about it. His mind has been made up. Let me pause here for a moment and ask you, has your mind been made up in a day past that you would give your all to the Lord Jesus, come what may or come what must? If you've gone back in that, he takes a poor second now, or maybe further down the pecking order. You have other interests. You have other fish to fry. You have another agenda. And it does not include being out and out and loyal to Christ. My dear friend, is it not time for us to rethink this and look at this man from which so little might have been expected, who is delivering so much? Let me say something else about him to show you how admirable it was. He says, I'm willing to go to the death. Notice verse 21 again. As the Lord liveth and as my Lord the King liveth, surely in what place my Lord the King shall be, whether in death or life, even there also will thy servant be, willing to go to the death. But since the Lord hasn't made it plain to you or me yet that we've reached that stage where we're going to have to die for him, yet he has shown us that he wants us to be where he is in life. What are the haunts, the favorite haunts of the Lord Jesus where you might expect him? Well, let me say, first of all, here, every Sunday, you can be sure that the Lord Jesus meets with his people Sunday morning and Sunday night here. For where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst of them. You can be sure that he's here. And he tells us, forsake not the assembling of yourselves together, as the manner of some is. You want to be loyal to the Lord Jesus? Then be here morning and night if you possibly can. Tell you where else he loves to be. He loves to be there, the Lord's table. Whenever we meet here each month, you can be sure he's there. You remember how he instituted the supper and said, whenever he gave the emblems to the disciples and told them to partake, this do in remembrance of me. Do you ever think of that when you walk out so thoughtlessly, month after month as a Christian, that you're leaving the Lord behind here in a sense? He's here at the Lord's table. He loves to be there. I'll tell you where else you'll find him. Just like Ittai in the place where my Lord shall be, you'll find him at the place of prayer. I've already cited the verse where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. Jesus in the midst. You'll find him in the prayer meetings before the service every Sunday. You'll find him in the Wednesday night prayer meeting and other prayer meetings that there may be. But certainly the church prayer meeting on a Wednesday night. And my dear friend, when the battle is raging, and make no mistake about it, once the service starts here, there's a battle going on against the powers of darkness that do not want God's will for each service. But in there, in the room, behind this pulpit, there's a band of people praying, entering the lists against the devil to pray for the success of the gospel. You'll find the Lord among that crowd in the midst. Where else would the Lord be? He's out looking for the lost sheep. And if you will want to be with him, you'll be burdened for souls as well. You'll be seeking to talk to people, to make contact with unconverted people. Let me ask you a wee question. Don't answer it out loud. Answer it in your heart. When's the last time you tried to invite somebody or to bring somebody along to a gospel service here? More importantly, when's the last time you spoke to somebody about the Lord Jesus and the need to be saved? Loyal. This man said, wherever you're going to be, that's where I'm going to be. And friend, our loyalty is to the Lord Jesus Christ. We say it anyhow. But is it? How admirable it was. Let me read to you very quickly. You may have read this a couple of weeks ago, but it's so important in this context. There was a certain prophet by the name of Agabus. And he came down to Jerusalem, and when he saw Paul there, Agabus took Paul's girdle, and in Agabus' own hands he bound himself. And this is what he said. The Holy Spirit says, so God was in this, that the man whose hands or the man who owns this girdle, he's going to be bound if he goes to Jerusalem. And the people, when they were listening to that, said to Paul, don't go. Don't put your life in such jeopardy. Here's what Paul says in Acts 21, verse 13. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break mine heart? For I am ready, not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased saying, the will of the Lord be done. There's a loyalist. Ittai and Paul, loyal to their king. Ittai is a picture of the loyalty of the Christian to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Let me move on very quickly and mention the second thing about the expression of this loyalty. Not only how admirable it was, but how seasonable it was. At a time when David needed to hear this. Now, David hadn't got a big army. The most of the people were going after Absalom. You say that. Well, if you read the background, you'll find that Absalom was very subtle. He went to different people and used honeyed words. And he said, oh, if I was king, I would sort this thing out for you. And the inference was, my dad's not doing a good job of it. He says, if it was me, I'd have this thing sorted out for you. And you know that people will say, oh, what a fella this is. No wonder that he stole their hearts. But Absalom wasn't one that worried about doing the people a good turn. All he wanted to do was become the king of the country. And once he had enough people, he mounted his rebellion. And most of the people went after him. David was at a low ebb. David did not know what was going to happen to him in the future. And it was exacerbated by the fact that not only had his army, for the most part, deserted him, but his own son had been the instigation of it. And now this man is coming up, Ittai. You never would have expected it from him. He says, sire, I'm with you to the death. And that, my dear friend, came at the time that David needed to hear it. I want you to think about this. Do you know somebody, maybe a friend, or maybe an acquaintance, or maybe somebody that was a close friend, but they've got into trouble, and everybody's turning against them? They need you now. They need you. Don't be moving out of the road. Don't be moving with the crowd. Whenever that person needs a helping hand, you get in there beside them. I'll never forget a definition of a real friend. Stayed with me for years. There was a competition offered or arranged and a prize offered for the person who could come up with the best definition of what a friend was. And there were quite a number of tremendous definitions that reached the final round. But whenever the judges made their decision, they were unanimous on this. And here's what the definition of a real friend was. A real friend is one who comes in when the rest of the world has gone out. Could you be that type of a friend to somebody that you can think of now who's having a pretty bad time, doesn't look too good for them, and they just need you to maybe lift the phone. Don't be texting. It can be a cold way of doing things. Lift the phone. Ask them if they're all right. Or better still, surprise them. Go to them. And say, is there anything I can do to help you in this difficult time? To be following the example of Ittai, if you do. Okay, I want to move to the last thing about this loyalty, and we'll be brief. We've seen the emergence of it, an unlikely source. We've seen the expression of it. It was admirable and seasonable. Notice the effects of it. Well, let's take the effects, first of all, for David himself. I want you to use your imagination. Think of the consolation that he would have felt here. That he was still highly thought of, even though I've lost a lot of my soldiers. Yet here's a man that still thinks highly of me, that he's willing to lay down his life for me. He would have been encouraged at that. He would have been encouraged as well when he heard that this man was not only affirming his own loyalty, but this man was in charge of 600 crack troops. And they were throwing in their lot too. So that would have encouraged David a good bit. And let me say about this man, you get it in chapter 18. This man became one of David's three commanders. And whenever David is organizing whatever army he has compared to Absalom's, Joab was a commander, Abishai was a commander, and Ittai was a commander. He became responsible for a third of David's army. David was encouraged. And if you today, my dear friend, would go to that person who needs a word, you have no idea what it would mean for them. It could strengthen them to meet the crisis in a better way that they're passing through. But what did this mean for Ittai? What effect had it on him? Well, think about this. Great satisfaction. The satisfaction in the knowledge that he had done a courageous thing. But more importantly, satisfaction in the knowledge that he had done the right thing. Oh, he wasn't going to be taken by this flamboyant young upstart in Jerusalem that had won the hearts of the people, Absalom. Oh yes, the tide had turned against David. The whole nation was in a euphoria over Absalom. But this man, Ittai, was not going to run with the rest of them when they were leaving God's man. I want to tell you, my dear friend, he stayed with the man of God through the hard time. A great man like David losing popular support. Well, a greater than David experienced it. Would you turn over to chapter 6 of John's Gospel before we come to a close? And I want you to notice something. I want you to notice that the Lord Jesus lost the major part of his congregation. Verse 66 of John chapter 6. From that time, now you need to read before to find out what time that was. That time was when the Lord Jesus was saying hard things that his disciples didn't like, not the 12, others. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked no more with him. The Lord Jesus losing his congregation. John the Baptist lost his to the Lord. And now the Lord is losing his to wherever these people are going. But it says they went back and walked no more with him. Look at verse 67. Then said Jesus unto the 12. This was the core support that he always had. Then said Jesus unto the 12. And I try to imagine the tone of his voice when he said this. Will ye also go away? Are you going to join them? Are you going to leave me too? But look at the loyalty of Peter here. Then Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. What an answer. But yet for all of that, he was losing his followers in large numbers. But there was a group that knew they were doing the right thing. They were staying with the Lord Jesus. Do the right thing, friend. Don't do what the popular thing is. Do what the right thing is, even though it requires great courage. Christian, has your loyalty been compromised? Is it divided? Have you compromised your standards? You're not now advancing his cause. You're not standing up for his honor. Will you see to that today? And let this quality of loyalty be marked in your life. Quality for the Lord Jesus Christ and his work. And if I'm speaking to someone not a Christian, you turn from your way of rebellion and resistance of God's King, God's Son, God's Savior, the Lord Jesus. Trust him as your Savior. Enlist in his army today. serve Him loyally and truly. Let's bow together in prayer.